Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm your host, Intoxicate Kate Slant's food lover and your professional restaurant recommender right here in Westchester and Fairfield counties. Do you want to connect? Check out Intoxicate Foodie on Facebook and Instagram, where I'm sharing amazing food photos, behind-the-scenes shots, and the most delicious events in our area. So I am here at the beautiful Station House in Port Chester. Michael, you've been open how long here?
6 weeks.
Okay, for 6 weeks, I'm with Michael Janetta. Amazing space. I'm just blown away. It's so breathtaking when you walk in. How long did it take you when you decided that you were going to take this space over from kind of start to finish to develop this kind of concept here?
Well, it took us longer than we had hoped. I'd say about 15 months before we were able to open, because we got into a lot of back and forth with getting this oven approved, which is a coal-fired oven. So it's not the easiest thing to put into a normal train station. So we had to go through lots of approvals and notes and whatnot. And so it was a long process, and we were working on our dough and our thoughts the whole time. And we really couldn't start working until we got the oven in, and then we were prepared. So it was good.
So you would say the biggest obstacle was the oven?
The oven was everything. Pretty much. A massive oven that we had to find, used, clean up, ship without cracking it. Get it in the door, get it placed, get it vented, get it approved to be vented. All that, and all that process was the last 2 months. It was a 12-month back and forth with having to explain what we were going to do with this oven so they wouldn't burn the train station down, per se.
So this oven has to be pretty special. What are you doing with this oven? What makes it different?
Well, it's a woodstone oven manufactured out of Washington State. They make incredible pizza ovens. We do other things out of it. However, it's a beast. I mean, it's heated from beneath the ceramic plate. So we set the temperature on the floor, and then there's gas and there's coal. So you have massive BTUs all over it, and the dome probably gets up to 1,000 degrees in there. And it just, you can cook something super fast, or bring it down and slow it down, and it pretty much can handle anything. It's something I've never worked with before in this very class.
Well, that's not the only thing that's special here in this space. I mean, like I mentioned before, you walk in and the space is breathtaking. The design is gorgeous. And I feel like you have a really great balance of like old and new here. So can you tell me a little bit about the design of the restaurant?
Well, we wanted to maintain the charm of the vintage train station. When we took it over, the previous tenants had... It was dark. It was a more urban feel, something to me out of the 20s per se in New York. And so we wanted to be inviting for families and all sorts of different people. So we had to brighten it up with the right color tones, which is not my forte. But we brought in a good designer, and we were able to maintain the charm and make it airy and inviting. So.
And did you keep any elements that were original to the train station?
Everything is still a functioning train station. So we just filling in all the nooks and crannies with tables. We stuck an oven in the main lobby of the train station. The ticket counter, which I'm looking at right now, is still functioning till 2 o'clock. The commuters, there's 300 commuters come through the station every morning, and we're gonna have a coffee program for them, something like that. But it's, they stuck a restaurant in the train station, but it's still a train station.
It's a beautiful multifunctional space, and the space that we're in here, where we're doing the interview, is this a great party space? Was that kind of the intention for it?
Right. So if someone wants to throw a private dinner or be out of the fray of noise, this party room was intended for that. We could put these tables all together and have a big long table or a few different tables with different groups in each corner, or just yank it all out and do a cocktail party.
And what is coming out of the kitchen? What are the types of things that we're seeing here?
You're seeing almost everything comes out of that oven. So, and there's a salad station there because we do some nice fresh salads. But all the apps, the meatballs, the blistered baby bell peppers, the artichoke crab dip, the wings are coal fired. What else? The pizzas, of course. Branzino, a roasted chicken. Oysters to die for, with verjus and beurre blanc in that oven. It's We stick it in there, we pull it out, and we take it to the table.
You're saying all these things, and I haven't eaten in a while, and I'm starting to get very hungry. Are these some of the dishes that I'll be trying tonight?
You have a very well-rounded menu. I was a part of it, so I'm going to throw it all at you. You'll leave full.
And what about the beverage program here? Because you guys are pretty well-known. You have Station House now, you have the Rye House, you have the Village Beer Garden right next door. So I feel like you have a pretty great beer program, beverage program at each one of those. Is that going to carry over here as well?
Yes, we have a fair amount of experience and knowledge in craft cocktails. And so we've just brought the best of that or some of that which will fit this concept. And we have a whole cocktail list here, as well as craft beers. That suit the food or whatever, you know. And I'm thinking we have a Spanish tapas restaurant in New York, and we have our sangria here as well. Mm-hmm. So the cocktail and the craft beer is something we've had a lot of success with in New York and in the Worcester and Rye House. And so we brought those people to put in a cocktail program here with craft beer as well. So.
Well, I do have a confession to make. I do have a huge, like, food girl crush on Sarah.
Oh.
Over at the Rye House.
She's a talented person.
Yeah, we just hosted the cocktail contest with the Bartender Shake-Off with Westchester Magazine, and I was shocked she didn't win.
Well, I'm surprised as well.
It was a good thing I wasn't a judge.
Well,
it's a good thing I wasn't a judge.
I'm sure.
Now, again, you have three restaurants. They're all in Port Chester. So how is it managing three restaurants in the same town?
Challenging.
Why?
Because we brought some the best talent we had over from Rye House was running, and we pulled our talent out of there. So to make sure that we've left it in good hands is the biggest thing. You got to keep an eye on that you're not losing something.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a new thing going with two different concepts in one building is quite challenging, and you can be slow on one night and slam the next. So you have to staff it right and figure out who your clientele is going to be that you're trying to develop and have the right people working.
Mm-hmm.
We're all being new and all trying to develop a strong team. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm. And I have a million ways that I would answer this question, but I want to kind of get your perspective. Why Port Chester?
Well, I would say one of our partners lives in Purchase, and he is a real estate person, and he believed very strongly in where Port Chester is going.
Mm-hmm.
And we jumped in, so that's why. And you know, other people have had success. It's become sort of a restaurant haven, and we want to be a part of it.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for Fork This with Intoxicate. Make sure to catch me next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. I'd like to thank today's guests for their time and letting us get a quick glimpse of their foodie world. Enjoy the rest of the week, and I hope you live life deliciously.